The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is proudly presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download their top-rated sportsbook app and use the promo code RTRS when you sign up. Brought to you by Touchstone Electric Fireplaces. Get yours at ZeroDeadBirds.com. Use promo code TTP for 15% off. Buy Nature Pet Foods, slow-cooked with Super Fusion. Get 20% off your first order at Chewy.com with promo code RTRS20. And Stateside Vodka, the presenting sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter. Get it at StatesideVodka.com. On the show today, the Sixers front office is participating in the biggest series of leaks in the history of sports leaks. And there is a coach in town to meet with the owners tonight. That is Doc Rivers. We'll talk about that. The final start tonight, we'll have to give our picks. Of course, Jimmy Butler participating in the finals. And we will finally settle the sitting versus standing debate with a true expert. Comedy writer Doug Mand, with such impressive credits like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, How I Met Your Mother, Doolittle, also considered an expert in this field due to his now-defunct podcast, Duty Calls, in which he became an expert in duty. So we'll have Doug settle this debate finally. And Doug's a Sixers fan, too, so he knows about all sorts of duty. Before we get started, join the Bark in the Park team. Let's raise money for dogs, sponsored by L.L. Pavorsky and Big Barker. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef.
We were right, y'all. Right, y'all. We were right. Even when it went wrong, we were right.
We were right.
We was right, y'all. We were right. So say the name.
Say the name.
We were right, y'all.
We were right.
Even when it went wrong, we were right.
We were right,
y'all. We were right. So say the name.
Say the name.
Say the name.
Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who is texting Keith Pompey right now to tell him about where someone is having dinner. That is Mike Levin. Here we are.
Not. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were kind of waiting for this last podcast of like, well, who feels like they're waiting on something? What's the delay?
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like maybe this was the delay that they were waiting for. This is sort of that they were thinking that Doc was going to be their guy. It feels like that's, I don't know. Everybody has kind of felt like the guy at different points. Doc feels like the guy to me.
Yeah, Doc's the guy. That is my, here's what I think the hurdle could be. And if I'm a betting man, I'm betting that Josh Harris and David Blitzer go to jump over this hurdle and realize that they are just have no chance of jumping over even a normal, maybe a small children's hurdle, and they fall flat on their faces trying to jump over the hurdle. Remember that Doc Rivers left the Celtics and went to the Clippers, where he eventually got personnel control. It's very difficult for a coach who has personnel control to then go to not having it. They sort of took it away from him in L.A., my guess would be that we don't lose anybody in team collaboration. In fact, we gain someone.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and they give Doc Rivers some sort of personnel control, which a coach should never have. Should have input, but not control. And that Doc Rivers gets some sort of personnel title, and that's it. Because my guess is going to be, look, we know that Ty Lue was in town. I think it's down to Ty Lue and Doc Rivers, but I think it's really Doc Rivers. We didn't hear about dinner with anybody, like a meeting with the owners with anybody but Doc, you know? And if Harris and Blitzer are meeting with Doc, they want him, and they're showing that they want him. And God bless Doc Rivers. I hope he gets $13 million a year. And,
sure.
And it might take him for all their work.
Take it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of things. I think Doc's a good coach. Is he a great coach? Is he an elite coach? Maybe not, but like most elite coaches are not on the market. If they were elite coaches, they would not lose their job. And so most coaches, I think Doc Rivers and Ty Lue and Mike D'Antoni are all like B-plus coaches with the potential to be A-minus coaches in the right situation and the potential to be C coaches in the wrong situation. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of somewhere both. Like, I tweeted this, but like the issue with whoever they pick is that they're the ones picking them.
Yes, that's the problem.
The Sixers front office and the Sixers ownership group and whatever organizational structure that there is such a total joke that nothing they do can be trusted. In fact, I think everything that they do must be assumed that it is the wrong thing to do. I think sometimes they will get lucky or guess right or whatever it is and something will align, sure. But at this point, they've just done so many things wrong that all we can hope for the best, absolutely. We can be optimistic in that sense. But I just think we have to know that these are just horrible basketball minds that are maybe thinking about basketball like fourth on the list of like their ego and, you know, money.
Buying shell and, companies.
Yeah. And like, money. What is, you know, how will everyone think of me? And this is, you know, trying to knife other people in the front office to get out from under it. That's like, and then like, maybe it's good for basketball. Who knows? Like it's tough. I think Doc would be a great coach. I think if him, he should absolutely demand some level of front office power because everybody fucking else has it. So why shouldn't he get some?
Why should Alex Rucker or Ned Cohen have anything?
Fucking sure.
Why?
Anybody. Yeah. It's Scott O'Neill. It's always Scott O'Neill's number one for me. And I can't believe he's still there.
Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
So obviously Blitzer and Harris are going to dinner tonight with him. And I assume it's dinner. They're not just sitting in a boardroom. Maybe they're ordering it. And they're going to be romanced by him because they don't know anything about basketball. And Doc Rivers is charming and has history and played point guard for the Knicks, which will impress Josh Harris and me as well. But like, they will walk away from this meeting being like, you know, fist pump bumping, like that's our guy. How negative would Elton have to be for them to not like overrule him and say, no, we're hiring him anyway? Like, I feel like Elton would have to walk into the room saying that, guys, I think he murdered someone. Like, I think...
Oh, I mean, well, I think Elton is probably setting them up to think that he's their guy.
Okay, you know? That's why he's meeting with
them. Yeah, that'd be my guess. Well, I don't think that they know enough to think, like, particular coaches are good or not. I don't think that they consider themselves on that level. I think that they think that they know what like good organizational structure looks like and what a good deal is and that kind of thing. But I don't think they think that they know enough about X's and O's to make that call. I think they're just meeting with him like as a guy and getting a sense of like what he's like and what his values are and everything.
Would you rather they hire Doc Rivers to be coach or just for the fucking spectacle hire Scott O'Neill actually to be the head coach?
Oh, wow. That'd be fun. That'd be great. That'd be great. That'd
be good. Yeah. So I'm almost sure it'll be Doc Rivers. I think Doc Rivers is in the upper tier of the middle ground of coaches.
Yeah.
He's blown a bunch of 3-1 leads. And, sure. You know, like that championship he won in Boston did have like 3 Hall of Famers on the team, and Rajon Rondo, who if he had continued on that trajectory, would have been a Hall of Famer. And the only other thing that I think is interesting, but it's almost hard to figure because Kawhi is so unknowable and so is Paul George, that like I don't think there's any way Steve Ballmer fires Doc Rivers without them not sticking up for him, and they definitely didn't. But I also get the feeling Kawhi probably wouldn't stick up for anybody.
Yeah, it seemed like a Kawhi issue. There was an article in The Athletic by Jovan Buha, who covers the Clippers, And it was pretty enlightening about like what went down in LA this season. And it seemed like the fracture there was the guys that were on the team last year, which was such a fun loving group and a scrappy, you know, eight seed type that stole a game or two against the Warriors. They did not appreciate that Paul George and Kawhi were sort of held to different standards and treated differently. And the leadership structure there was just not really there, and kind of everybody got mad at Doc. And that's tough. It is tough, and I've thought about this a little bit, about when your best player is not your, like, vocal leader.
Yeah, neither of those guys, first or second best player, honestly.
Are you talking about?
Kawhi or Paul George.
Right, and I was saying Ben and Embiid is the same situation, and that Tobias is pretty clearly the vocal leader of this team. He's getting paid like he's that, but he's certainly not, you know, that kind of player. He's not good enough to be, you know, to sort of wrangle everybody else together. He hasn't commanded that level of respect. I think as far as like him as a guy, him as, you know, leading by example and getting everybody on the same page, sure. But when it gets down to it, you're counting on Ben and Embiid, and both of those guys need to take a really big step forward as far as leadership goes, as far as like owning this team goes, and they haven't done it yet. And it could be a similar situation in LA where that kind of thing backfires there. Or maybe Doc's learned from it because people learn from things. I don't know. It should be noted that Tobias had one of his best years of his career playing for Doc. And so that could be a consideration. Should be noted that Doc coached Blake Griffin for a lot of years, made Blake Griffin into a better player. Mm-hmm. Simmons definitely has a lot of Blake Griffin in him and used him on the short roll and stuff, in transition, all that stuff. Doc's a good coach. Like they were a good team this year. The reports coming out now are that there were problems the whole season, but like they still could have easily had those problems and, you know,
won a championship,
right? Like they could have easily beaten Denver. One of those games could have gone differently if a couple guys didn't get hot or a couple guys didn't go cold or whatever. And then it's Lakers Clippers and that's all just like intensity and all that stuff. So then they could have gotten there. So it's weird how we are such a results based industry here. That Denver team could have lost to Utah. That Mike Conley shot could have gone in. Yeah. Like there's a million things. There's so many things that like if this, and you could do that all the way through sports history. But I'm not, I mean, on the one hand, I'm not like ready to say that Doc is like a choker of a coach or whatever. I don't even really know what that means. It seems like there is some level of truth to he's a guy who is a little slow to make adjustments in games, a little reluctant to go away from what has worked in the past. But what isn't working currently, which you saw with him consistently playing Montrezl Harrell and some of Lou in that series and stuff. But sometimes it's just a bad combination of players. It's a bad cocktail of players. There's not many teams that have won championships that aren't like, oh, there was something special here. All of us believed in it. Like from a leadership level. Sometimes it works. Yeah.
Even the LeBron Heat, the first year failed. Remember, like the two most dominant offense guys are new to this team too. Doc Rivers' job is going to come down to two things, assuming that they don't make any blockbuster trades, or they can't get rid of Al Horford or Tobias Harris, whatever. It's going to come down to two things. One, can you figure out an offensive way to make this team work? And two, then the most important thing, the only thing that matters, can you put a level of responsibility and trust and whatever it takes to get Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to break through the different walls that they have? Ben Simmons' wall is coming off ball and shooting, and Joel Embiid's wall is being in the best shape he can be, and bringing it every game to a certain degree, right? And his job is really going to come down to those two things. And I think he's got a good shot of anyone. I actually wouldn't put money on either of those things happening. But he is experienced enough. I think being a former NBA player who has been there, done that, like, I think it helps in a situation like this because he's been there. He knows what it feels like. He knows he's played with guys like them, all those sorts of things. So I don't know, man. After reading Sharp's thing, I just want to fucking give Udonis Haslam $15 million to coach the Sixers and just fucking yell at Ben Simmons until he shoots. But that's what his job's going to come down to, because everything, if they're going to keep both those guys, those two things have to happen. So,
solid Udonis Haslam transition into the Miami Heat making the
NBA Finals. Yep. So before we get to it, I'll just say that our coach speak there was brought to you by the sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter. That is Stateside Urban Craft Vodka of Philadelphia. I'm finally going to pick up the Zoe shirts tomorrow so we can distributing them. If you're signed up for the newsletter, you can get one of the Zoe shirts and all of Zoe's thoughts. It is brought to you by Stateside Vodka, Philly's number one craft spirit, handcrafted, distilled 7 fucking times. My wife was at a liquor store and she said she was looking at 2 vodkas and one was distilled 6 times and then there was Stateside, which was 7. Gluten-free, available in the 1.75 liter Magnum bottle. Get it. Come on. It's going to be chilly over the weekend. You're just going to sit at home with some of your Stateside Vodka. StatesideVodka.com for home delivery or at any wine and spirit store. Okay. NBA Finals with the Miami Heat and one Jimmy Butler, the fourth best player on the Heat.
Come on.
I mean, he is.
That's just not true, man. You got to just eat it. Look, I know that I'm full of shit when I say Jason Tatum is bad. I know it. I deeply know it, and I hate myself for it. Mm-mm. Jimmy's very good, and he's the reason that they're here. He's not the only reason that they're here, but he's the reason that they're here, and we shouldn't have let him go. The Sixers team last year was very good. They should have found a way to keep everybody, and they didn't, and they're stupid.
But they couldn't. Like, look, I always said he was very good. I said a bunch of things. I said they should have never traded for him because he wanted to be the primary ball handler. It was never going to work here. It didn't.
He could be the primary ball handler here, though.
But let's talk about reality instead of, like, made-up shit. The made-up shit is that they keep everybody. It's made up. It doesn't exist in any real world. He didn't want to be here. He didn't want to be here because he didn't want to share ball handling responsibilities with Ben, and Ben didn't want to be here with him. That was what happened. And let's not have revisionist history and say that he wasn't, like, disruptive here.
No, for sure.
And then when I said it wasn't going to work out, I said they should trade him at the deadline, and they fucking didn't. And here's what I will say about him in Miami, is that for a guy like him who is disruptive, you need, and I know this sounds like bullshit, but it's not, you need an organizational structure that does not put up with bullshit. And I thought it was, like, ironic that he said that Philly tried to, like, change him and Miami didn't. You know, one of the reasons that LeBron left Miami is because they were like, we're doing things the way that we do them here. You know, like, he didn't get away with the same things in Miami that he got away with in Cleveland. And that was why he became a better player than he ever had. So, like, the problem is that Jimmy was never going to work here. Now, you could say what you said a few podcasts ago and say that it should have traded Ben and doubled down on Jimmy. And, like, I guess, like, in retrospect, I can't disagree with that, but I don't think anyone would have agreed with that at that point. So, like, I just think it was a mistake to trade for him in the first place.
Yeah, they made a bunch of mistakes. Trading for Jimmy and Tobias, and then letting Jimmy walk for, like, a pretty mediocre Josh Richardson, and then signing Tobias Harris to what really seems like the biggest deal in sports history.
Yeah.
I know it's not, but it feels like it.
It feels like it, yeah.
I mean, he's just a very good player. Was he perfect here? Absolutely not. But, like, good organizations make shit work.
But we don't have a good, it's not a good
And we don't have a good organization. And I wish that the organization was better. I wish that Ben and Joel, took it upon themselves more to, like, make it their own and resolve whatever is going on. Then Jimmy was involved in that, and Tobias, and everyone was just like, yo, we could be the best team in the league. And I think that had they had a reasonably competent backup center last year, that they would have went to or possibly won the championship last year, would have been a different situation. I'd be a different person. I don't know what my personality would be like in a world where the Sixers won the championship, but I hope I get to see that person someday, maybe in like if some alternate reality sort of like
maybe a show
sort of
maybe
sort of like combine right. And sort of you know, intersect. But Jimmy's in the finals. The Sixers lost in the first round. What an indictment on this franchise, on all of us, on everyone who's ever existed in the city of Philadelphia.
The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, that is DraftKings Sportsbook. We love DraftKings Sportsbook because when your team suck, you can at least have fun with sports with DraftKings Sportsbook. The basketball finals start tonight, and they have a ton, like a million different bets. And by the time you listen to this, you won't be able to bet on that game. But betting, series odds, betting, I'll just go through them now, like player props, you know, how many over-unders on points, halftime scores, how many three-pointers, if LeBron's going to get a triple-double, total points, rebounds, and assists, a million different ways to bet it. And when our team isn't in it, betting it's great. And then there's football. Now, again, if your team isn't any good, having football to bet on is great. Week 3 in the books. I'm ready for week 4, certainly with betting. I don't know about our team, but ready with betting. No better place than DraftKings Sportsbook to bet on football. They're bringing back the can't-miss offer. We've told you about it. Download the app now. Use promo code RTRS, because if you're a new user, you get the chance to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team. That's right. Put a $1 bet on any team. If that team wins, you get $100. 100-to-1 odds on a $1 bet on any team. That's right. You could take a team that's a 12-point favorite. You could take a team that's playing the Eagles. Whatever you want, $1 bet. If you win, it's $100. Don't worry. If you don't like football, basketball, you get a 200% profit boost on any basketball market once you sign up. Safe, reliable, secure. You deposit when you want. You withdraw when you want. It's like almost instant. It's the greatest. I love the DraftKings app. I love DraftKings Sportsbook. Download it now, the app, and use promo code RTRS when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick any team during week 4. Bet $1 on them and win $100 if they win. That is $1 to win $100 when you use promo code RTRS during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Profit boost, terms and conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back to the Ricky. But I also don't subscribe to this, like, Jimmy was right the whole time. Everybody had to listen to Jimmy. Like there's a...
He was right that shit was wrong here.
Yes, it was... But who didn't... But like, the way to fix that, like, and this is, again, one of my issues with him, is not to, like become a fucking pipe bomb in the middle of it. Like that's not what.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I don't think he's blameless entirely, but people say that, oh, the Sixers chose Brett over Jimmy, and that's just like so wrong. Yeah. They wanted to fire Brett last year, and then because of pressure from Embiid, basically they didn't. Getting alarmed by how often this team has done the opposite of what Joel wants, and what, you know, gotten rid of guys that Joel likes or plays well with. Just pretty generally alarmed by that. And then now Joel seeing Jimmy in the finals and be the guy, and Bam Adebayo, who is great, but who is not the player Joel Embiid is, getting like showered with all this praise that Joel should have been given if the situation was just better and not as much of a fucking mess. I don't know. I believe that Joel wants to finish out his career here, but I also think that he might just look around and be like, what the fuck? What a pointless waste of time.
Well,
I gotta go somewhere else.
The other thing that's happened here is we talk about the Ben and Joel dynamic so much. Like, the organization has responsibility in causing, like, more of this, like, friction than needs to be, like by the setup of the team, by the like the leaking of the general manager that obviously preferred one to the other, you know, like by the Twitter. So like I think they have responsibility in that as well. And by the way, the last thing before we get to our picks for the finals is we were going through the 25 and unders that we would take over Simmons, and we both said no to Adebayo. Bro, I would take Adebayo over Ben Simmons. This team specifically, obviously, it would be weird, but he's a better shooter, an actual center defensively. He's a really good playmaker. He is comfortable in the role that he has, and I don't doubt that he'll be shooting threes soon enough, like what that guy has become. He was really fucking good. Like that game against Boston in a closeout game, he was awesome. So
he's great. I still think that the best version of Ben Simmons is a better player. Whether we get to see that, get to see that in the right situation, who knows? It is hard rooting for an abusively frustrating team. Just every step of the way, man. These fucking people.
Your prediction? Lakers, Heat starts tonight. Neutral floor, fake, doesn't count.
Yeah, I'll say Lakers in six. I think that Miami's really good. I think that they have a lot of guys who can hit shots. They're a better shooting team than the Lakers. I just think it's LeBron, man. I think he's putting all of it into there. I think it's a simplistic way to look at it for sure. I think LeBron is a very good basketball player, and I think that AD Bam is gonna be fun. And an interesting matchup, but AD looks like he's like turned a corner and got hit another gear and stuff. So I'll say the Lakers in six.
I'm going Heat in six. They have at least one guy on the team every game who will get hot, like whether it is Hero or it is Dragic or it is the other white kid.
Duncan Robinson.
I don't know. Like, they're going to need all that. They're going to need one of those guys to be super hot, I think, every game. But the Lakers, like there's just not enough guys on that team. Like, it's really going to have to be LeBron and AD. And I don't believe in either of them in, like, crunch time situations as a scorer, honestly. Obviously, AD hit a huge shot. Easy to hit a huge shot when you're up 3-1. I don't know, man.
That's not like going through your head as you're shooting the shot, though. Like,
yeah, but there's less pressure. It is different. I don't know. I think the Heat are going to beat them. Now, I do think like not having to go on the road is an actual thing. Like I keep calling it the fake finals. I obviously don't think it's fake, but it is different when the team that didn't win as many games during the year does not have a disadvantage in terms of like home court, not home court. But I think the Heat are going to beat them. I do. Washed King.
I think there's enough good role players in the Lakers that really know what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I think Rondo's turned a corner and been way more useful than I thought he'd be. I think Kuzma's played really solid ball all around. KCP's solid. Danny Green's solid. I think there's just enough guys that are always right enough places. Especially, I mean, the way that the Lakers are going to win the series, and we should get to Doug, but the way the Lakers are going to win the series is by like hammering them in the offensive glass. Because Bam's great, but That's a lot of meat to keep off the offensive glass, and that would be something to look forward to. It's a good, I mean, man, it's good. It's gonna be fun. I like watching basketball. WNBA finals are starting soon, and also are exciting to look forward to. It's like, it's all we have. Basketball is legitimately the only thing I have.
I wish
the Phillies are bad. The Eagles are bad.
Yeah.
I got basketball. It's not even the Sixers. Pure
just
unadulterated basketball.
I wish the game started at 8, not 9, but you know what can you do?
You're on the wrong coast, bro.
Let's get to Doug. The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by our friends, Frank. Frank's the only guy I know over there. I got to go over there. Maybe if they're in there, meet them more. At Touchstone Home Products, Touchstone Electric Fireplaces in Exton, PA. regular fireplaces are a pain in the ass. I actually got a bunch of water damage in my basement cleaned up today, which is where my fireplace is, which I've never used. And I looked at it and I sort of smirked. My real fireplace I've never used because they're a pain in the ass. There's smell, there's a mess, there's ash everywhere. And the fear I have is the fear I had as a child that there would be a dead bird in the chimney that would come down or some reason. You got to get wood. You want a touchstone electric fireplace. It gives you all of the advantage of a real fireplace with none of the disadvantage. No smell, no ash, no dead birds. Go to zerodeadbirds.com. Use promo code TTP for 15% off. And it looks, you control it with like a button rather than having to poke the wood with a stick. You actually have to do that with a fireplace. It's terrible. Get a Touchstone electric fireplace. You can get it for as low as $499 for a 50-inch one. They recess into a wall. It looks great in your bedroom. Think about that. Laying in bed at night with the love of your life with the electric fireplace over there in the wall gives a little bit of heat. That nice look looks awesome. Or think about it in your living room. Under the TV on the wall, you got Touchstone electric fireplace, or even the bathroom. They've seen them in RVs as well. You control the flame. It goes anywhere from like 28 inches all the way to 100 inches wide. No smell, no mess, and it looks awesome. Log display, crystal display. Go to zerodeadbirds.com. Look at the gallery. See the gallery, you see how everything looks. You see how it can fit in any sort of home. Local ship, it's local, they're stocked. So the shipping is quick. They'll get it to you in 2 or 3 days tops. They'll answer any questions you have, whether you want to do a chat online, whether you want to email, whether you want phone call, go to zerodeadbirds.com. Great local company, huge reviews on Amazon. Huge reviews on Google. Do it. Zerodeadbirds.com. Use promo code TTP for 15% off your order. Touchstone electric fireplaces. We bring onto the podcast a man whose credits are impressive. And we're bringing him on for the most important part of his credits. Of course, writing credit on a Doolittle, Robert Downey Jr., How I Met Your
leading with that.
How I Met Your Mother. One of the most successful sitcoms of all time. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, a show that people mention on Twitter constantly that I've never watched. A Sixers fan, which is very sad for him.
The worst.
But we'll get to this in a bit. We're bringing him on. Mike mentioned him last pod because he hosted a podcast called Duty Calls, in which Doug would bring on a guest for a chat. But one of the things he would ask them during the chat is what their just most awful, embarrassing bathroom story was. Right. And given our sitting and standing debate in recent weeks, we thought...
Had to bring an expert.
We had to bring on an expert. So we're...
Thank you so much.
We're so happy.
This is what he's always wanted to be known for.
This is my life's work.
Yeah, well, it really is. So I wanted to ask you, we are now getting a lot of emails about the sitting or standing thing.
And you're familiar with this.
I don't want to get to the debate yet. I don't want to get about.
Sure,
I just want to ask you sort of an overarching question.
Let's just hover over the toilet.
Right. Yeah. So it reminded me of like somehow, and this is embarrassing, the thing that I'm most known for is liking the Sixers, which is fucking just the worst thing to be known for. And I wonder, you host this podcast for a few years that is, obviously you talk about a lot of things, but the center topic is like bathroom horrors. Sure. And I'm wondering if you became like the shit guy, like in LA circles.
Well, first I want to say, I am the shit guy.
He is the shit guy.
But I was the shit guy before the podcast.
That's right.
And this was a way of embracing that and leaning into it. I want to correct you because it's not – we don't talk about actually anything else on the podcast.
Oh, really?
It was very – 100%. Okay. I mean I believe that we were overflooded with conversations where comedians talked about being – comedians, and I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. I wanted people to only come on if you have a shit story, and there was the only requisite that you had to have a shit story, and I didn't want to hear it beforehand because I wanted to recreate what it's like to sit around with a group of friends and be vulnerable and to laugh and to embrace the shame that we all feel at one point or another. So that's a really a highbrow way of talking about a shit podcast. But yes, I was always known as the shit guy. I've had shit problems my whole life. If there's a public space that you've been in, I probably shit there. I've shit everywhere.
Can you give us a little bit of for the audience, and also just to, because your podcast is still available, and I've listened to every episode. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Give us a little bit of your shit credibility as. Well, give us a taste of the. Isn't there a Bud Selig shit story that there's in there?
But before you get to it, can I just? Okay. I feel like it's appropriate. Yeah. We got an email from Heather, and as you tell this story, I feel like people just need to hear this as we go into this. She says, "You guys, we need to talk. First off, let me say that I absolutely adore you both. The podcast brings me endless joy. I haven't missed an episode starting 3 years ago. That being said, the wiping debate has to stop."
Wow.
Maybe sure. It's that I'm in my first trimester of pregnancy, so my stomach is pretty weak, but I simply cannot take it. Another image of a grown man wiping his dirty, stinky butthole. I am begging you, let the poop talks cease. I recognize that this request will either be completely ignored or made fun of. So as you go into your Bud Selig shit story, understand that there are people begging us to stop.
I think that that's what you wanted to, right?
Okay. So you wanted to like lay on a nice level of shame right before I start.
That's right. That's what he had to do. Yeah, he had to go there. So please, just a little shit credibility, please.
Just so you know, there are a lot of people who really fucking hate that you're about to talk. Okay. and also Heather, I'm sorry. And that was, and I knew that there would be a divide with my podcast, but you know, you can turn off now. In terms of my shit credibility, I mean, I had the credentials. But there's a story that actually kind of spurred on this podcast that I told in the How I Met Your Mother's Writer's Room. Mm-hmm. The quick version is I'm someone who, if I'm in a place, and when I was younger too, if I was in a place where I couldn't shit, that's when I had to do it. It was nervous. So at home, no shitting. There's some, you know, like I almost exclusively shat in public for the first like 15 years of my life because I didn't have to do it at home because I was comfortable. So fast forward to me being 13, I'm in Milwaukee on a vacation with one of my best friends and his very well-to-do grandparents. And they say, hey, do you want to go to the All-Star game with Bud Selig? And we're like, yeah, fucking, of course.
Go with Bud Selig. You going
correct.
With Bud Selig.
They were family friends with Bud Selig.
Okay.
And lived in Milwaukee. We'd already gone to a Brewers game. Which was very cool, even though it was a Brewers game. And we took a private jet from Milwaukee to Texas. I'd never been on one, obviously. I got onto the jet, and there were 8 people all together. One of them was Bud Selig going to the All-Star game. The All-Star game doesn't happen without Bud Selig. And I'm there as the most far removed person. I'm the friend of the grandchild. And as soon as I get on, as I would go into any area, I quickly were like, well, where's the bathroom? And there was no bathroom. What there was a drop seat that doubled as a toilet. It had a seatbelt on it. It was around 4 feet away from the two rows of seats. And it had a little shower curtain that went around it.
Why was there no bathroom?
I don't know.
Okay.
Why there was?
You got enough money
to
get a private plane, but it's like let's get the yeah. the one with no.
And
bathroom.
Now it was 1993, and I feel like this was before Instagram and posting. And although I do think people had bathrooms on private jets, I don't think this would happen today. But there was no fucking bathroom on this thing, and I immediately my blood ran cold. And before we even took off, I had to shit. And I'm sitting. It's basically like being in a Suburban, like a Chevy Suburban, exactly. So just imagine, and we're around 10 minutes in, and I looked at my friend, I'm like, I have to shit, and he's like, there's no toilet here. And I was like, well, there is.
And by the way, those are the magic words.
Yeah, there's no toilet. I was like, the worst thing you could tell me, there's no toilet. The best thing you could tell me was, you're okay, do you want me to hold you?
Yeah.
The worst thing you could tell me is to shame me. It's the equivalent of like 800 Heathers telling you to shut up and stop talking about it. I look over at Bud Selig, who is 5 feet from me, looking at papers before the fucking All-Star game. Right. I look at his grandparents, who don't want me there anyway. And I look at the toilet that has a shower curtain that's hanging by a thread, and I just go, I just stand up, walk over, and I shit. I basically shit like it was if I was in the trunk of a Suburban and everyone else was in the first row of the Suburban with nothing dividing us and no ability to close the windows, to open the windows. And for the majority of the flight, we just sat in my own filth. And it was a truly traumatic experience, one in which his grandparents were openly mad at me. Openly.
That helps.
Stuffed me with Imodium for the way home. We're just destroyed by it, and it totally shaped my life going forward.
That's right.
So Bud Selig smelled my shit before the 1993 right. All-Star game for at least 50 minutes.
Okay, so he's legit.
Wow, that is incredible. It's the mad they got at you is the only you can only get that kind of mad at somebody else's kid. Like, why is he even here? Like, there's so many things.
I think it's an inexcusable thing to be mad about. Yeah. Obviously I would.
Yeah. So you've been listening to the podcast. You've been hearing the wiping debates. You've been waiting by the phone for me to text you.
I mean, I every time it would go by and you didn't say anything, I was like, well, Mike doesn't like me and I don't like him anymore. And then he finally said at the end of the last episode, and I love this podcast. I'm a huge fan. It actually does offer me comfort, especially during the quarantine. I don't know what it is, but it does. So you guys are great. But yes, I've been hearing the conversations and it warms my heart. And what's even better is how many emails you're getting about it, because it does speak to why I wanted to do the show anyway, which is I think people are dying to talk about the things they're ashamed of.
Yeah.
And get it off their chest. And when other people react to it, more people come out. So it's gross, but let's take some of the stink off it and just fucking laugh at just how funny this is and that we all do it and it's hideous.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And we all and the wealthiest people in the world do it. I love to imagine like Obama just running down the halls of the White House being like, I can't talk right now. I got a shit. Like, it's the great equalizer.
It really is.
So
your stance on standing to wipe.
Oof, this is the big question.
Okay. Again, I'm a real anti-shame guy, and I don't want to ever say something one way is right or wrong, but it is wrong to stand. what I'm noticing, and I went back, and this came up in our show around the 70th episode. Someone's whole story was just about realizing that he stood when no one else stood.
Yeah.
So it's a lot like your stories.
Yep.
And I think it just comes down to like the way you were raised. You're taught that way, and then you never question it and you don't see it. And when you're teaching a kid to wipe, like, you little kids don't have like core muscles,
right?
And they don't have the ability to like move, scooch to one leg over. And so they have to stand up and wipe. That makes sense. I liken it to like when you're younger and you can't reach the hoop, like you shoot a basket, like you shoot underhand,
right?
Like, now if you're standing up and wiping, it looks like you're an adult shooting underhand. It looks like you're 32 years old at the gym shooting a jumper with no jumping and through your legs. It's ridiculous, and it's also not effective.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this because today I stood up and wiped before the show.
Just to get a feeling for it. Just to get a feeling for it.
Because it's important, I think, to try it. It is. You might be able to get some of it, but you are not. There is just no world where you are getting the amount of shit out of your butt that you could be if you're sitting, unless you told me you were squatting.
Squatting's fine.
While standing.
Yeah. Well,
and then I would offer that you're maybe even having a better wipe, but I don't think anyone's talking about that.
No.
I think people are talking about standing straight up like widow boys, like who have with their pants around their ankles.
Yes.
And so I would beg them to try and learn.
I hover. And the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by nature, slow cooked pet foods, superfood. That's right. You don't want to give your pet just anything. You want to give your pet the best food, the best pet food. And that is by nature, the best ingredients apple cider vinegar, spinach, blueberries, ginger, coconut oil. Look at the stuff that you're feeding your dog and your cat right now and see if any of those are there. Here's another thing I want you to look at. Look at the ingredients. Is the protein first? Is the salmon first? Is the turkey first? Because it is with By Nature. It is. Premium proteins, great ingredients, and they cook it slow. It is slow cooked. They call it superfusion. What it does is it keeps the nutrients in the food. The food becomes more nutrient-rich, and your dog, your cat, they metabolize this food very quickly, much quicker than humans, which means that it needs to be more nutrient-dense so they can get more nutrients out of it because the food is in their bodies shorter. This has been proven by a study at Kansas State. There's never been a recall. This company's been around for 40 years, a company that owns By Nature. You don't have to worry about indoor cat, outdoor cat, adult dog. The food is so good. It is suitable for whatever your dog or whatever your cat is. Go to Chewy.com. Use promo code RTRS. That is promo code RTRS20, not just RTRS. Go to Chewy.com. Use promo code RTRS20 for 20% off your first order of By Nature. Send us a photo of your dog or cat with the By Nature. We'll put them in the Good Boy Club or the Good Girl Club on RightsToRickySanchez.com. If you want to learn more, you can go to BuyNaturePetFoods.com. Then once you're sold, hit shop now. It'll take you to Chewy. Go to Chewy.com, RTRS20 for 20% off. By Nature Pet Foods. Now back to the ring. I think one of the things that we're running into here is that the standers think of the sitters and are just thinking that you're sitting there shoving your hand in between your leg. And yeah. Like they're not thinking about how it would actually work, I think is part of the issue.
I think I agree.
I did ask one person who said proudly that he stands and he finger rolls the toilet paper into the toilet.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I mean, I have lots of questions about that, but I can only guarantee that it's gone wrong at least 5 times.
Yeah. So I feel like I need to present you, if I could, just with 2 different issues from emailers.
Please.
So this comes from Terry. Well, there's one thing where apparently in other countries, the toilet is like a hole in the ground. And and you have to stand when you wipe almost because there's nothing to sit on. But this comes from Terry. Standing saved my life. Standers are by position inspectors. I've always stood facing the toilet. Every time I look carefully at my stool and my dirty TP to be sure I got everything and nothing unusual in my load. In my 66th year, despite being current with all CDC recommendations for colon cancer screening, I found some bloody debris on both the paper and in the bowl. I immediately went to a specialist who diagnosed a large tumor in my colon, which had not spread, allowing me to be treated. I am now 74. Do wipe that smug sitter's grins off your faces. You might die of colon cancer just because you are afraid to turn and face your own shit. This tone is done because you deserve it. You watch your own YouTubes to see the smiles on your faces as you joyously confirm each other's belief that there's no possible justification for standing.
No, no.
Any rational universe.
No. I have nothing against
looking,
checking to see if there's blood in it after the wipe. But you,
agreed.
That does not mean you need to stand up or turn the other way to do it. It's a quick look is fine.
Right.
Yeah, I completely agree with both of Mike's assessments. First of all, Terry, I'm very thankful that you caught that.
That's right. I should have led with that.
Fantastic. I want you to know one thing about me, though, is I don't stand and I both look at the shit that I've taken and look at the toilet paper.
That's right.
Because I do something that is also controversial. I wipe from back to front, which is going to make people go crazy.
But
I also switch it up because I actually believe that you got to kind of go both ways to get everything.
Yeah, mix it up.
And also, it's the bidet conversation, which is if you're not shooting water up your butt, you're basically just wiping peanut butter off a table without any water or anything. You're just smearing stuff around. If you don't have a bidet, you can get them for $30 and you can do them. If you're not shitting with a bidet, you're not really – you've never had a clean tush. Yeah. And I promise you that.
Yeah. What about a wet wipe?
Wet wipes are very bad for the environment,
and they're terrible for septic systems and plumbing.
Yeah. And that's why. Yeah, they'll wreak havoc on your. You'll eventually have a flood. But if I don't have a bidet with me, I will if I'm in someone else's house, get up and put a little water on the toilet paper. Huh. If you're not, you are just moving around mud. And you're always leaving some percentage of it. That's just a fact that I'm not being smug, Terry. I'm being just very real with you. Shoot some water in your ass, then wipe it and just see how fucking you could eat off that toilet paper. You don't want to, but you could. It's a game changer.
And advice like that is why Doug was, I think, my first mentor in L.A. I take after him. In many ways, some ways I like, and some ways I wish I didn't.
Hey,
I love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. This is great.
So the other question I have to ask.
I made it on the podcast.
This yes, and I didn't expect you to be as all out. I have to say, you're one of my three favorite guests of all time, and you've only been on for 15 minutes.
That's huge.
Wow. You're everything we needed. So somebody sent an email from his girlfriend who demanded that she write us an email when he found out she was a stander. She says in the beginning, she goes to say that like not every person who identifies as a woman is, you know, has genitalia that is of a woman. She would like to say she would like to refer to herself as a person with internal plumbing. She says, despite writing in favor of the standing wipe, I will say this: each wipe serves a different purpose. The sitting wipe is good for focusing on the back entrance cleaning. The standing wipe, however, is necessary for internal plumbing. Did you know how close all of those holes are together? Just as a reminder, there are three holes about 1 inch away from each other. The standing wipe allows for one cleansing motion from front to back with no worries of your hand going into the toilet water. She says it's also important for preventing UTIs and so on and so forth. Any thoughts to the female plumbing version of this?
Yes. And it only changed because since I stopped having the podcast, I had a baby daughter.
Okay.
And so I wipe her. And so I am aware of those things. And I hear everything she's saying. And I actually very much agree that there are different wipes for different situations. And I think that there is no catch-all. And I think that, so I would say this to all standers out there, you're definitely doing something. You're getting something. I'm not saying it's a ridiculous thing. So maybe I retract some of my underhand shooting of it all. But it's,
well, in underhand shooting, you're still shooting. It's not like you're
exactly.
wiping your
and you
forehead.
Could probably and you could probably still shoot 75% from the line on that way. But and I'm just trying to get you to above 80%. Like, mm-hmm. And I think you have a better chance of doing that. So I understand what she's saying. I think what she's talking about, without having internal plumbing, I think it's more of a front to back or back to front issue as opposed to a standing. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. And I still think that if I had to guess, she was probably raised to stand. And there's a lot of defensiveness from the standing community.
Yes.
Which I think is we like to say something in therapy: if it's hysterical, it's historical, which is like if you're freaking out about something, it's 20% what's really going on. 80% is really about your childhood and other shit that happened to you. And that's what I think. The people are defending, like, these emails are so angry. They're actually, I think, in some ways defending like their upbringing.
Yes.
Because like that's what they were raised to do. And I'm not attacking the way anyone was raised. We all were raised in fucked up households in different ways. Mm-hmm. But at this point, you're an adult, and I think it's time to try a different way and see what happens.
I feel like standers grew up drinking whole milk with dinner or something.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
And we had lactate that we didn't even touch.
That's right. Well, I do want to say that I feel like I carry you with me every time I go to the bathroom in my apartment because a picture of all, first of all, in my brain, but also a picture that your dad took hangs over my toilet. Your dad as a photographer.
Oh, really?
Which the hotel? Is it? The hotel. You gave it to me.
Oh, that's right. I gave it to you. Yeah. My dad is a takes pictures in Philadelphia.
Wow. And so you're every time I go to the bathroom.
That's an honor to be in someone's bathroom, and I'll let my father know that, and I'm sure it will warm his little tush. that we're there.
Well,
but Doug, those are my answers.
This is great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We appreciate all the insight. And
guys, thanks for having me. Keep doing it.
If we become a fully shit podcast and take the mantle from you, maybe if the Sixers keep disappointing us, that's the way we're headed.
Yeah.
Yeah. trust the Pusses.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Trust the Pusses.
All right.
And I became Spike's 10th favorite.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you this weekend. Are you down with TTP?
Doug, do you want to say it?
Yeah. You know Lickface.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.